Hey everybody, Pastor Darren here sitting with Pastor Mike for our Sunday sermon recap. And if you'd like a copy of Mike's sermon notes, you can text 817-482-6626 for a copy of that. So, chapter 17, Book of Luke, our Living Hope series.
Yep.
Very short passage, just four verses, but a very powerful passage of scripture.
It was, yeah.
My Bible has it listed as a warning from Jesus. So, and it truly was a warning, just reading through that passage. And it was no easing into the scripture. It was like right at it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, if there's offenses or temptations will come, but if you're the one causing the temptation,
it's not going to go well for you.
It's not going to go well for you. That's what you said on Sunday. It's not going to go well for them.
Yeah. So he starts out. It is a warning. He's like, hey, and I said it's the facts of life because the truth of this world is there is temptation. There are offenses. He's talking about sin. You know that it exists in our world. We live in a broken world, and he's saying it's going to happen. And then he does. He gives that. I said it as a side note, but it is a main part of the passage. And he's saying that if you are someone trying to cause someone to stumble or sin, it's not going to go well for you in judgment, is what Jesus is talking about, is at the end when we're judged. And the reason why is because you're messing with somebody's eternal soul. And so if you're intentionally trying to cause someone to sin or intentionally try to cause someone to stumble, you're not just affecting them. You know, we've done a lot of talk the last few weeks about eternal versus finite. Well, you're trying to impact something that's eternal, which is their relationship with God. And so so he says it would be better for you if a big old rock was tied around your neck and you were thrown in the ocean than for you to mess with one of my children and cause them to stumble, essentially. And Jesus isn't being mean. He's just telling the truth. He's like, that, don't do that. Like, it's not going to go well for you. So he's not, I said, we always think of Jesus as gentle, kind Jesus. And this is a pretty, like, it's a kind of a violent thought, you know, and just that idea. But it's a warning because he's showing us the importance of the eternal soul.
So if you hear Jesus saying woe to you, you might want to think about your life choices.
Yeah.
So just kind of a side note, do you think Jesus says woe to Cowboy fans?
this week he should have. He should have said, well, I did appreciate it. Let me say this. We had church Sunday. We had our leadership pipeline leader training. I threatened everybody at the pipeline training. I said, don't tell me the score. Don't tell me the score. I've got it recorded. I get home. I was a good husband. I did some dishes when I got home. And I sit down. Katie had gotten home a little bit later. She had brought some dinner. I got my salad that she brought me. I sat down on the couch. And then I get a text message from Pastor Darren that is the crying Terrell Owens and says, sorry.
That's my
quarterback. And I'm like, well, I guess there's no point in watching the game now. So thanks. But also thanks for saving me 3.5 hours of misery because I would have sit there and just been angry. So thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate that. So
like you said, that picture of the loving Jesus, the one petting the sheep, it's kind of thrown out the window in this particular passage of scripture, especially when it relates to sin.
Yeah, he's kind and loving, but he's also God. And so sin is something that destroys our relationship with God or if it, at the very least, gets in the way of it and hinders it. And so he's saying, you better not do that. And we have to check our hearts to make sure, one, that we're aware. That's why he says next, be on guard, because he wants us to be proactive about guarding our hearts against sin. But the second part of that is making sure that we're not somebody who is causing someone else to sin or causing someone else to stumble. And we don't think of ourselves as, I could never do that. But there are actions and things that we do to people that hurt people or maybe cause offense or,
can impact someone's eternity.
Can impact somebody's life, for sure. And so we do have to pay attention to that and watch out that we're not that type of person for somebody else in some way. I would say unintentionally, but even intentionally, if we're not taking our walk seriously and we're being unkind to someone or whatever that may look like, we gotta watch ourselves too. And then Jesus says next, he says, so how do we react to that? Because offenses will come, temptation is out there, we must be on our guard, we must be aware, because there is a proactive responsibility, self-responsibility to be on guard against sin and temptation because it does exist, right? Just because it exists, it's not a, Jesus isn't giving us an excuse to sin. He's not saying, hey, nothing you can do about it, right? It's, temptation exists, have fun. He's saying it exists, so prepare yourself, right? Guard your heart, guard your mind.
Yeah. So, and you mentioned this a little bit earlier. He said it's better for a millstone to be around your neck and, mm-hmm. and be thrown into the sea than being guilty of causing someone else to
mm-hmm.
sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate on that?
It's bad.
It's bad.
Don't do that.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, and the thing is, you just talked about this, like the temptation.
Well, I will go back. Sorry. Okay. The what he's saying is judgment. That's God's judgment. Because he's talking about, you know, if you, like, you will be, at the end of the day, if you're, this is, like, we're all going to face judgment in the end of the world type, you know, think Revelation, that type of stuff, at the end. And so he's saying, though, you will be judged for that.
Okay.
So if you do that, and it won't go well. So,
and the thing is, we all kind of know what our temptations are, and what can cause mm-hmm. us to stumble or cause someone else to stumble.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, we need to be diligent and on guard. And mm-hmm. the analogy you used was, if you're somebody who has a drinking problem,
you probably don't go
shopping at a store that sells.
Yeah, I was making light, not making light of a drinking problem, but the joke or the what I said was no, you know, alcoholic never walked into a liquor store and was surprised.
Right.
You know, because there's times that we know, and yet we still put ourselves in that situation. And so that's what the be on guard and be diligent. Just be proactive and don't put yourself in those situations. There's time that temptation comes and we're not expecting it or anticipating it. And that's where we have to be strong and trust in the Lord and have good people around us and, you know, be firm in our walk and solid in our walk. But part of that is also just knowing our blind spots and weaknesses and not putting ourselves in situations where that's going to come up or we're going to be tempted.
Yeah,
for sure.
And then he brings it a little bit closer to home, not just the general statement, but more personal
mm-hmm.
when he talks about, mm-hmm. hey, if your brother or sister, so now it's communal, like you said.
Yeah.
He said, be on guard if that brother or sister in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
causing.
At first it's individualistic, you know, where he says, temptation will come, offenses will come. You know, don't be that kind of person. Be on guard. That's very individualistic. That's my personal responsibility to understand temptation exists, to guard my heart, right? Then he turns it towards the church,
mm-hmm.
right? Then he turns it towards, like you said, communal, because our relationship with God is not as individualistic as we think of it as. It's only I can choose salvation, right? I can't choose, nobody else can choose that for me, but then we walk with the Lord for the rest of our lives, and that is something that's done in community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it turns into if your brother, right? So now he's going to tell, now he's telling us how we deal with that in relationship with one another.
Yeah.
If somebody around me sins, somebody I'm close to falls into sin, what do I do then?
So in that community, now it's okay to call him out. We should call him out. And to me, it's good to have people in your life who call you out on things because mm-hmm. they have your best interest in mind and ultimately your eternity in mind.
Yeah. And when we say call him out, you know, I was like, call him out, you call out the sin. But the idea is accountability.
Yeah.
And the idea isn't that anybody can do that for you. And what mm-hmm. I mean by that, when I say not anybody, I mean, you know, Jesus says brother, which is referring, or sister, which is referring to they are a Christian, also indicates close relationship. And so it's not just like freedom to like walk around and be like sinner, 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 you know, just like, but it's that you have people that are close enough to you that have earned the right to speak into your life.
Mm.
You know, I would say you're somebody like that for me. You know, y'all can't see Joel. Pastor Joel's in here helping us record. He's somebody like that for me. Hopefully I'm that for both of you guys, you know. And so it's an earned position in somebody's life that works both ways. One, they've earned your trust. They've earned the right to speak into your life. The flip side of that is you have done the work to open up to them and allow them into your life and take off the masks that we wear that allow people to see where I'm tempted, where you're tempted, where I might fall short, where, you know, and to see places and areas in our lives where we may stumble and fall, and then have the right to speak into that. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like we're going around calling each other out,
right?
But it's that we have deep relationships within the church body. And I say church body, not River Church, but the church, right? Christians, that we have deep relationships with other Christians who understand that temptation exists. They're on guard. So they're, you know, ready for it, and they can spot it in us, or we can see it in them because of the close relationship, you know, because sin oftentimes is, you know, there's sins that are obvious. If I'm stumbling around drunk, you see that, mm-hmm. right? If I'm, you know, on heroin, you might notice that, you know, Pastor Mike's preaching seems odd, seems off today, right? You might notice that. But then there's like pride. Then there's, you know, other sin that we hide, and we're really good at hiding it. And most people might not recognize it except for the people that are close to us. And so that's why we need people close to us to be able to see that in us and go, hey, love you, man. Like, you seem to be, you know, the way you said that really was, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's people who, because there's sin that's obvious to everybody, and then there's sin that only the people close to you can recognize in you, because we do a really good job of wearing a mask and hiding it. Mm-hmm. And so it's this idea of, you know, if your brother sins, you know, rebuke him. And that's just, that's somebody close to you, talk to them about it. And the word rebuke there is not like, you know, joke about Sonny, but you're headed to hell, right? It's a conversation or a rebuke with the intention of repentance, mm-hmm. with the intention of drawing that person back into the fold. It's not a rebuke that's casting out. It's a rebuke that's drawing in.
So rebuke should be looked at as a blessing, especially if it's leading to repentance.
Dude, if it is a blessing to have people around you that love you enough to have hard conversations with you, to pull you closer to Jesus. That's somebody, and it's not, you know, a lot of times, hey man, I love you, I'm just telling the truth, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, whatever, dude. Like, no, love me enough to like try to help me find reconciliation, like speak to me, you know what I'm saying? Like it's not just speaking hard truth and dropping bombs on people. It's like lovingly trying to pull them back in. And so, yeah, so it's a blessing to have that. Not so much a blessing to have people who are just like,
right.
You know, now sometimes we need hard love. Sometimes I need somebody to smack me in the face. I'm like, dude, you're being an idiot. Stop. Mm-hmm. But that's me. Like, I'm just dumb, and I need you to bust through that. That, again, goes with knowing me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If you know me deeply, you can go, all right, Mike needs me to be firm. And he needs, it's the idea of knowing what tool to use, right? Sometimes you need a hammer. Sometimes you need a paintbrush, right? Sometimes you need, like, each situation calls for a different tool. If you try to use a hammer on everything, you're just destroying everything. Sometimes I need a hammer, right?
Yeah.
But you got to know me well enough to know if I need that. Like, my wife, Katie, if I'm coming at her with a hammer, like, I'm just beating her down and, like, hurting her. And that's not helpful to her. You know what I mean? And so everybody needs to be spoken to in a different way and addressed, rebuked in a different way. And it takes deep relationships to know how that works.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, so saying someone needs to be rebuked isn't just freedom to just be a jerk.
Right.
It's knowing them and loving them in a particular way that you know how to try to speak to them. And part of it is just allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you in that and saying, God, okay, you know this, you know, Holy Spirit, speak to me, talk to me, help me to, you know, as I have this conversation, they give me wisdom so that I know how to deal with this person or love this person, you know, go ahead, go before me and convict them so that when we talk about this, they understand it and we can have a healthy, beautiful conversation that leads to repentance and reconciliation, not further, you know, being ostracized type thing. So that's the goal. The goal of rebuke is always reconciliation. That's why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, because he knows, God, if I go rebuke them, you're going to save them, you know? And so the idea is rebuke leads to repentance and reconciliation always. That's always the goal. So
you also mentioned on Sunday that we're all going to offend at some point, or mm-hmm.
yeah,
we'll be the one doing
statistically speaking, we probably will. Yeah. I know people don't like, you know, like, well, I don't have to offend somebody. You don't, but statistically speaking, we all do stupid things and we all hurt people. And and family, you know, families hurt each other, because they're in close proximity. That's why family hurts each other, because we know each other deeply. We know each other's, like, you know, buttons to push, and we spend a lot of time together, and that eventually is going to cause some offense. Church family is no different. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said Sunday, nobody can hurt you like family can hurt you, but nobody can love you like family can love you, and nobody can forgive you like family can forgive you. And ultimately, that's the idea, is that we, if we learn how to do this in a healthy way, so that we can be a healthy family.
Yeah.
You know, because there's healthy family and there's unhealthy family, and we want the River to be a healthy family where we learn how to do this well. Mm-hmm. You know, and we, so that you're not just coming here and being hurt, because over time, statistically speaking, right, you know, the odds say somebody's going to hurt you at some point at the River Church. We're a wonderful, fantastic, beautiful church, but because we're people, you're probably going to get hurt here at some point.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. You're not going to find a church where that's not going to happen, unless you're just not really involved.
Right.
Unless it's just, show up once every couple months. Like, well, that's not really being a deep part of the family. That's not really, you know, that's like the cousin that shows up for the family reunion, right? You can't get hurt there because you're just showing up every once in a while, right? And so what I'm saying is, when you actually dive in deep into the family, that's when that starts to happen, right? Yeah. And so I'm not trashing, you know, like trying to find different churches. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when you get in and get involved, that's when it starts to get ugly, right? Like when you're dating somebody, all those first dates look beautiful and wonderful, but then you marry them and you're committed to them. Well, then that's when you really start getting into some stuff. And so,
why do you chew with your mouth open?
Right, yeah. Why do you keep hitting the table,
I've been chewing with my mouth open on our first date. I chew with the mouth open.
She didn't bother her then. Didn't bother her then, did it? Yeah, right, yeah. Katie has none of those for me. I just get better with age. But no, you know, yeah. And so over time, we're gonna hurt each other, and the deeper you get into the community, the more opportunities, that's what I was trying to say earlier, the deeper you get into the community, the more opportunity for hurt there is.
Yeah.
And so what typically happens is we get hurt, we don't know how to deal with it the right way, and then we just go to the next place where we get hurt again, we don't know how to deal with it the right way, we go to the next place, and it's just a perpetuating cycle. And so Jesus here says, offense will come. Mm-hmm. Sin happens, right? Be on guard. We don't want it to happen. It's not okay that it happens, right? But it does happen sometimes, right? Because we live in a fallen world. So then if your brother sins, rebuke him, meaning address the situation, mm-hmm. Have a close enough relationship where you can talk about it, right? And then he says, and if he repents, forgive him. And so the beauty in there is what Jesus is teaching us is being close relationship enough where you can have the conversation, and so address it, because oftentimes we get hurt and we don't address it. So sometimes somebody could hurt us and we never tell them, they have no idea.
Right.
And so
you're walking around like everything's fine, but they have this big giant chip on their shoulder.
You have no idea. And so instead bitterness is being stirred up or whatever. And so Jesus says, hey, it's, in a way, it's on you, right? You must address it, deal with it. You got to be close enough to be able to do it, address it. And then it's on that person to be humble enough to recognize that they've sinned. And it is sin. Recognize that they've sinned and repent to you. And that, again, you see what Jesus is saying here is this is interpersonal, it's relational, not with him, it's with each other.
Yeah.
And so it really is the idea of us offending each other, us sinning against one another. That's why we repent to each other. That's mm-hmm. why we ask for forgiveness from one another. And so we have to be, if we offend somebody, we have to be humble enough to recognize that. And it is humility, right? It is humility. And so humble enough to recognize that we've messed up, repent, and then the ball's back in the other person's court. Jesus says, you must forgive. You must forgive.
And you mentioned this on Sunday too. Forgiveness is a choice.
It's a choice.
We have the choice of getting better, mm-hmm. getting bitter, mm-hmm. and having that hatred, or we mm-hmm. can choose to forgive.
Yeah.
And he wants us to make the
choice.
Doesn't
just want it. He says, you must. You must. Yeah. And what's interesting, I didn't have time to get into it. So about to get something extra here. I didn't have time to get into it.
This is the in closing.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll wait for the last.
No. This is it.
I can say it. Okay. Yeah. So the next passage, and some people argue, like, is this connected to here or not? I think it is, specifically because It's a continuation of this conversation. If you look at it, Jesus says, if your brother offends you seven times and comes back and repents seven times, you must forgive him. Mm-hmm. The next thing is the disciples say, Jesus, give us faith. Or they says, let me look it up. Let me find it. I want to make sure I get it right. Sorry. So the next thing Jesus says, he says, he's saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Then the apostles ask him a question, verse 5. And this is why I think it's connected, because he makes this statement, and the apostles then ask him this question. They say, Lord, increase our faith. Mm. Why? He says, you got to forgive people. If they offend you 7 times 7, you must forgive, because he's saying this is what Christians do. It's not a choice. We forgive. Must. We've been forgiven. We've been forgiven so much by Jesus, by God. Then he says, when someone offends you, you must forgive them. The next thing the disciples say is, well, you got to increase our faith. Mm. You got to help us. And Jesus says, well, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Or you can move, this one is the tree. He says, you can pick up this tree and say, be planted over there. And what he's saying is, it's not about the amount of faith. It's about the one in whom you're putting your faith in. It's not about the amount. It's about the quality of the faith that you have. And so Jesus is saying, well, I'm everything you need to be able to do that. You have everything you need to be able to forgive.
That's almost like a cop out.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if you want me to do this.
Yeah, then you got to help
me. You got to help me.
And God does have to help us like we do. But he's saying,
I've given you
everything. He's saying it's there.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
You do. You have that ability. And then at the very end, this is what I was like, man, I really love to get in this. I don't have time to do it. At the end, he says, basically, let me read it. He says, you know, Lord, give us more faith. And he says, well, we have the faith the size of a mustard seed. You can say this tree, you know, uprooted plant over here. So he says, you have the faith to do it. You must forgive. And then he says this, which one of you having a servant tending sheep or plowing will say to him when he comes to the field, come and sit. So without reading it all, he basically says, which one of you are a servant? And then your master tells you to do something and you do it, comes to the master and says, hey, didn't I do a great job? Because he says here, does he thank you? Does he thank that servant because he did what was commanded? Mm-hmm. So Jesus says, if someone offends you 7 times and comes back and repents 7 times, you must forgive. They say, well, give us more faith to do it. And he says, does the master thank a servant when he does what he's supposed to do? Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that as Christians, we are supposed to forgive. And really, that's just a part of who we are.
Yeah.
As a servant of Jesus, it's what we're supposed to do. And so it's hard. It's not easy,
right?
By any means. But when they ask, give us more faith, he's like, I'm giving you everything that you need to do it. And by the way, this is what you're supposed to do. As a servant of me, it's just what you're supposed to do. Yeah. And I think the reason why Jesus says two things there is because one, like you said, one, the cop out is, hey, I can't do it. I don't have the ability to forgive. And Jesus is like, no, you do. As a follower of me, I can give you everything you need to be able to do that. The second part of that is we do forgive somebody, and we're like,
right, look at me.
Look what I did.
Yeah.
Look at me. I did it. And then it's like, and then what happens is we get prideful, and we, oh, well, you offended me. I forgave you. I'm so much better than you, right? And so we begin to, this thing happens where it's like, yeah, I forgave him. And that almost turns into like a form of gossip, or like, yeah, Darren was, you know, texting me and ruined the Cowboys game for me. And so,
but I forgive him.
You know, I forget he's a Steelers fan, so it's not really his fault, you know? And so, you know, and so there's like this thing that we get, and Jesus is like, no, you just did what you're supposed to.
Right.
And so it's like, it's just who we are. So don't, you know, like, it's just what we do. And so, not that we shouldn't feel proud of ourselves or accomplished when we do forgive, but it doesn't make us better than each other.
Yeah.
It does, because we're all sinners and we've all been forgiven much. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is like, no, it doesn't create a hierarchy here. Like you're a servant of the Most High King.
This is what you're supposed to
do. This is what servants do. Right. And so I couldn't tie all that in Sunday, but I really wanted to, a 30 more minutes, but it's really beautiful there to see that. So
on the forgiveness, so I have a question. So if Cousin Bobby keeps doing the same thing over and over again, mm-hmm. There's a Cousin Bobby out there. I apologize.
There's always a Cousin Bobby.
He's probably, man, why don't these guys keep my name out their mouth?
there's like a Bobby that's like, I'm not going to that church.
Done,
man.
But if Cousin Bobby keeps doing the same thing over and over and over again,
yeah,
you're saying I have to keep forgiving over and over and over again?
Yes. Short answer is yes, because even if Cousin Bobby's your enemy, you know, Jesus says, love your enemy, do good to those who curse you. But this is specifically within the context of Christians, though, because he said, in this passage, it's because he says brother or sister. So that means they're a Christian. It means you have a close relationship with them. It also means that you've addressed the situation with them, so you've talked to them about it. Also means that they've repented, then you can forgive.
Yeah.
So there are things that have to happen there, like they, you know, you have to address it. They have to understand it. They have to repent. You forgive. Now, there are situations where you don't get a chance to talk about it, or it wouldn't be healthy to talk about it, and you must choose to forgive. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it doesn't take time. Doesn't mean you don't have to work through it, right? There's a lot of caveats there. It doesn't mean that abuse is allowed to continue. Doesn't mean that crime's allowed. You know what I mean? Like, that's not an excuse there. It doesn't mean that you have to stay in a situation. You can get out of this. You don't, I mean, you get, if that person keeps offending, keeps hurting you, get away from them, you know? And so there's a lot there that entails. But ultimately, forgiveness isn't about the other person. Forgiveness is about you.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, what forgiveness is doing is it's not healing the other person, it's healing yourself. It's not, does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so ultimately the person benefiting from forgiveness is the one who's holding the hurt.
Because that person's probably gone on with their life, not even thinking about it. If you come to them like, I don't even remember that happening.
Yeah.
Because it's happened so long ago, or you're hanging on to it, but they've forgotten all about it.
Exactly. And so really this is a blessing to you.
Yeah.
Not the other person. You know, the quote is bitterness is like drinking poison and hope the other person dies, right? And so what Jesus is really giving us is a gift of saying, learn how to be generous and abundant in forgiveness, because people are going to offend you. And if you can be generous and abundant in forgiveness, then really it's healing for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, somebody was joking with me Sunday about, you know, it's Gerald. He's playing me in fantasy football. He crushed me this week, crushed me by like 50 points. And he was like, so I hope I don't offend you, but what I'm going to do to you, you know, in fantasy football. And I said, the way I said it was, you can't offend me if I don't choose to be offended. And so sometimes offense is a choice. Forgiveness is also a choice. And ultimately, choosing not to be offended and choosing to forgive is healing for ourselves. And so that's why it's so important. It's not that we're letting them off the hook. It's that we are finding healing in it. And so that's really the beauty of it at the end of the day. So
what do we do in cases when a brother and sister doesn't repent and they think, hey, I haven't done anything wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they're justifying the reasoning behind what they're doing.
Well, I would say if the offense is continual, like it's something they continue to do, like say it happened, it's done with, then I would say the wise thing to do is choose to forgive and maybe remove yourself from them and just get away. You know, that's fine. You know, I'm going to forgive you. Try to stay. I'm just going to not be in relationship with you. You know, that may not be possible, but that's what I would try to do. If it's a continual offense, meaning they continually are continuing to do it, I would either remove myself from them. If it's within the context of the church, say they're a part of the River Church and it's continuing on and you've talked to them about it, that's when you need to talk to leadership. That's where you would come to one of the pastors of the church and say, hey, can you help me address the situation? And that's biblical. That's in the scriptures of, you know, taking it to the leadership of the church and getting them to help you address it, deal with it in a healthy way, especially if it's continual, right? They're not repenting, they're continuing. And especially if it's abuse or criminal, then you really got to take it to authorities. Either that's, you know, biblical authorities, or if it's criminal, you know, the police, you know, that type of situation. And so that's what I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you for joining us today. And I want to encourage you to go out and listen to the message in its entirety. You will be blessed by it. And you can listen to it through our website, through Facebook, through YouTube, Spotify, and you will be blessed by that message. And remember, in knowing God, we can find freedom, and we can find freedom in repentance too, and forgiveness as well. And we can discover purpose through knowing God. And lastly, we can make a difference, not just personally, but communally.
Amen.
In forgiveness. Thank you for joining us today, and we will see you next week.
Amen. Let's go.